Hello, welcome to GCSE Bite Size Science with Chris Smith and with Ben Vowsler. We're from The Naked Scientists. In this podcast, we're going to talk about metals and alloys. But Ben, first kick off by telling us, chemically speaking, what actually is a metal?
Well, metals are solid materials which conduct electricity and heat well and are often not too brittle, so they can be shaped by bending or hammering. Metals and alloys of metals are used almost everywhere for everything from cutting sandwiches to making computer chips.
So what actually is an alloy?
Well, quite often the properties of a pure metal are not ideal. It might be too soft, its melting point might be too high, or it might corrode too easily. So the solution is to mix two metals together.
So how does that help?
Metal atoms are arranged in a huge repeating structure, a bit like how marbles sit if you put them in a box. Now, they can bend because the atoms can sometimes move past each other, and this allows the metal to change shape. If this happens too easily, the metal will be very soft. So if you mix in other atoms of different sizes when the metal is molten, the resulting alloy will be much stiffer. And this is because the added atoms get in the way and stop the atoms of the first metal from moving past each other.
So are alloys quite commonly used?
Well, virtually all the metal you see is a mixture of different elements. Duralumin, which is used to build planes from, is an alloy of 96% aluminium and 4% copper and other metals. Brass is a mixture of copper and zinc. Even steels are alloys of iron, other metals, and the non-metal carbon.
So are there lots of different types of steel then?
Oh yes, there are hundreds. For example, there's low carbon mild steel, and that's used for making car body panels. That's iron alloyed with about 0.25% carbon. And then you can get high carbon steels, which have about 2.5% carbon, and they're much more brittle, but also much harder. You use them for making cutting tools. Stainless steels are alloys of iron, nickel and chromium. Now this means it won't rust, so it's used for making cutlery and kitchen sinks.
And where do we get all these metals from?
We dig them out of the ground, almost always in the form of ores. An ore is a rock which contains compounds of a metal, like iron oxide or copper carbonate, in large enough quantities to be worth mining.
So if they're in the form of these ores, how do we get them back into the metals we need?
Well, that depends on how reactive the metal is. If a metal compound is reacted with something more reactive than the metal atoms will be pushed out of the compound and form solid metal. Metals such as zinc, iron, tin, or lead are less reactive than carbon, so they can be extracted by reacting their ores with carbon, which we get from coal.
So how does that work? Tell us a bit more.
Well, the most common metal to be extracted in this way is iron, which often comes in the form of an ore that's mostly iron oxide. This has the oxygen removed in a blast furnace by reacting it with carbon in a reduction reaction. That's the opposite of an oxidation reaction. The mixture is heated up to over 1500 degrees C, and carbon grabs the oxygen atoms, forming carbon dioxide, leaving relatively pure molten iron in the bottom of the blast furnace. Limestone is added to the mixture to mop up any impurities.
Well, that's all very well if the metal is less reactive than carbon, so what happens if it's not the case and the metal is more reactive than carbon?
Well, in this case, you need to use something called electrolysis. Now, this means melting the ore and passing a huge electric current through it. You have to use electrolysis for reactive metals like aluminium, magnesium, sodium, and potassium.
But that sounds like it could be quite expensive to do.
Well, some of these metals are very useful. Aluminium, for example, is a very low-density metal, but still quite strong. So aluminium alloys can be far stronger than steel for the same weight, and they're used in planes and high-speed ships and things like that. And although aluminium is very reactive, it's protected by a thin layer of aluminium oxide, and this stops it corroding. It's also very easy to shape and press, so it's used in making drinks cans, door handles, things like that.
So is it because it's expensive and difficult to make in the first place, because you have to use electrolysis, that we tend to recycle aluminium from things like drink cans whenever we can?
Yes, that's right. It uses a huge amount of energy to produce from its ore, which makes it quite an expensive metal, even though it's very common in the Earth's crust. So it's far better to recycle aluminium than to extract it from the ore. Titanium, on the other hand, is far more difficult to extract than aluminium.
So how do you get that?
It is very reactive and will react with the electrodes you use to electrolyse it. So you have to extract it using a more reactive metal, like magnesium or sodium, in a complex, expensive multi-stage process.
So why does anyone actually bother to extract it if it's so difficult?
Well, it's very strong, it's quite light, and it's very resistant to high temperatures, so it's used around jet engines in an aircraft. It's also very compatible with your body, so it's used for making artificial joints and plating broken bones.
And what about less reactive metals?
Well, gold is so unreactive that you find it in the ground as a lump of pure metal, and most of its uses are based on the fact that it's unreactive. It's used to plate electrical contacts and for jewellery. Copper is a bit more reactive, and so it has to be smelted from its ore in various ways, depending on the ore.
And what do we use that copper for?
Well, copper is a transition metal that's unreactive and doesn't react with water, so we use it for pipes. It also conducts electricity extremely well, so it's used for most electrical wires. But impurities in the copper reduce how well it conducts, which will waste energy once it's made into a wire.
And can you get rid of those impurities?
Well, they're kept to a minimum by purifying the copper using electrolysis. This can be done in the lab using copper sulfate. You just put two electrodes in the copper sulfate solution where the anode, that's the positive end, is impure. You apply an electric current and very pure copper will deposit on the cathode, that's the negative electrode. Anything more reactive will stay in solution, and things that are less reactive won't dissolve.
Now, you mentioned that copper is a transition metal, so what does that actually mean?
The transition metals are the block of elements that sit in the middle of the periodic table. Now, they include lots of different metals, including iron, nickel, gold, silver, and lots more. Now, they form compounds that are interesting colours, like copper sulfate, which is a bright blue.